We are in this series called Phases of Faith. We planned it for 4 weekends, but I decided to do the 5th weekend, supposed to be a series break. I've actually asked my wife to preach about praying for the nation, and she said she takes a year to prepare and cook a powerful message. So come back next year, end of August, and you get to hear my wife preach about that. Okay, joke aside, I had that in mind as I wanting to wrap up this particular series about Phases of Faith. Now, Phases of Faith was really based on Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is what we call the Hall of Faith, where it detailed out all the men and women of God who, because of faith, they were victorious. But really, if you understand Hebrews 10, 11, 12, 13, there were very logical thinking that the author was very intentional. And sometimes as we read all the different verses, you know, it was said that sometimes you focus on one tree, you miss the entire forest, you know, kind of a thing. I wanted to help you to see the forest. I wanted to help you to see the logical flow of Hebrews 10, 11, 12, and potentially a little bit of 13, depending on the time. And the logical flow is this. Hebrews 10, the author finishes by telling about to the audience why you should put your trust in Jesus, because Jesus brings the better. Jesus is the better. He's better than angels, better than Moses, better than the priesthood, better. He was just trying to help them and re-look at the entire Old Testament system, because he was writing to a Jewish crowd. How do you know he was writing to a Jewish crowd? Because the author did not spend time to explain Hebrews 11, who is Abraham. He just tell you, this is Abraham, this is Barak, this is Gideon, because everybody grew up with that cultural hero. Just like when I grew up with Power Rangers, Thundercat. No, I'm just kidding, okay? So they were familiar. What I was familiar was fake. They were familiar with real people who had real life stories. So the author of Hebrews was trying to help people to understand Jesus is better. And then Hebrews 10, before he enters Hebrews 11, he says the only way you want to live your life moving forward before Jesus comes back again is to live by faith. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, live by faith. Okay? That's the only way. Not live by cash, which is needed, but live by faith. Faith is like the single thing that if you can take your life. So we do parenting, right, to all our kids. And I consistently tell my kids, great that you get a good grade. Great that you get scholarship, but I want you to get faith. Great that you can solve the Kumon problem, math. Great that you get a good job, but don't lose your faith. Because the only way to live your life is to by faith. To help people to understand. So if you don't understand what is to live by faith, September 3rd, Discovering God, you can join. Then potentially you wrestle with this thing about faith. Oh, by the way, I forgot. I saw Kath here. There's a bunch of Every Nation Cyber Jaya people are here with us. If you are here, could you just make some noise, Cyber Jaya people? Okay, all right, some of them there. Is that you, McCoy? All right, good to see you. Okay, and welcome, all right. And we meet in the mall, and the mall today, they don't open up for us, so they are here, okay. So that is Hebrews 10, right? And to help all of us to understand how critical it is to live by faith, the author then gave a list of all the heroes in the Old Testament, which they were very familiar, and tell them that Abraham was successful not because he lived by cash, though he was a very rich man. Not because he was, you know, he said, no. Noah was successful not because he has the longest beard. Enoch was successful not because he walked with God. So he told every single individual that every one of them were where they are because they did by faith. And when Hebrews 11 was presented, he gave us the 2 pictures of faith. He talked about those that because of faith, they escaped sword, they overcame kingdom, they quenched the fire. He gave us a whole entire list of men and women of God because of faith. They did the work of God triumphantly, and in our eyes, they were the heroes. Then they gave another list of people whom they did not escaped the sword. They died. They did not escape the fire. They were sawn into two. But the Bible says that these people also live by faith, which really debunk our modern days Christianity who equate faith only to successful living by the things that you own, the things that you get, the health that you have, the wealth that you have. We call that prosperity teaching to some extent. There's a place for that. But that's not the only expression of faith. And in that entire list, as he talked about, all the men and women of God who went through life at its most difficult and did not give up their faith, the Bible very clearly seems to indicate that they were so worthy of their faith that the world is not worthy for them. It was very clear that the Bible talked about they lived totally another category of life, that to God's eyes, they were sort of the bigger faith people, if I can say that way. So it kind of actually turned the way we think about faith. We tend to think about faith and people who pray God healing, he's so anointed. But we never talk about people who went through suffering, never give up on God and say, that's so anointed. We will not say, that's annoying, some of you say. We never say that way. But the Bible says it that way. He says the world wasn't even worthy for them. And then, in fact, the Bible kind of signified that they will have a better resurrection. Now, nobody knows what does that mean, but the Bible seems to indicate that. Now, today, we're going to talk about faith in Jesus because after Hebrews 10, Hebrews 11, it connects then to Hebrews 12, which is the passage we want to look at. All right, very quickly, the series was meant for us to walk away every week wanting to draw near to God, wanting to believe in Him and keep on seeking Him. That is really the expression of faith. No matter what you're going through, you could not understand what's happening in your business. You couldn't get the child that you wanted. You just lost something that was very dear to you. Draw near to God. Believe in Him and continue to seek Him. And that seems to be really the echo of faith all the time. So we went through that journey on Abraham, on Sarah, on Noah, and then many others, on perseverance, faith. And today we look at faith in Jesus now. So I want to pick up on the last two verses of Hebrews 11 before I jump into verse 12. I want to connect the dot for you. So it begins with the last two verses, verse 39. He says, all this means to all that they talk about the men and women of faith, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. So it was very interesting. He says that all of them were in faith, but they did not receive what was promised. What was the thing that was promised? Very likely, it refers to Christ, the Savior, because all these people were in the Old Testament. They kind of knew about one day the Messiah will come, but they never know the entire package because they never get to see it. Today, we are post-cross. They were pre-cross. We get to look back and we get to see what Christ has done. So people like Isaiah, people like Jeremiah, people like all the Old Testament, when Abraham was sacrificed the lamb and God says that I will provide a lamb in, he doesn't know. He doesn't know that one day, the real Lamb of God will be at the same mountain where he nearly sacrificed Isaac. He never knew that. So all of them did not receive what promise. Since God had provided something better for us, apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Which means the Bible seems to indicate that all this, I call it the community of faith, since Abraham, Abel until today, and the day where Christ will come. This community of faith one day will have their reunion. You know, people tend to think about heaven. It's going to be a nice place because, first of all, for kids, you don't have to sleep. No more nights. You get to play all the time, you know. We tend to look at the location and think about it. But I want you to know, the greatest heaven is when we get to reunite with everybody that's of faith. You know, what is a home? A home is where relationships are there. It boils down to that. So I kind of really look forward to the day where I can sit down with Isaiah. I can sit down with Jeremiah. I can sit down with Esther. I can sit down with Enoch. I say, you know how? You have your, did you achieve your 10,000 step or not? You know, you walk with God so much. You right? And so what step was it that you walk away and you never walk back? You know what I mean? I like to ask Noah, how is it like to be an ark without really knowledge of anything? And how was your kids helpful? Were they how did you do parenting? I mean, And so the Bible says that they are waiting for us. And the day will come where salvation is made perfect, where we get to be with them, the biggest and greatest reunion. Now, then it moves to therefore. So if you take away the chapters, all that you read about Hebrews 11, men and women of faith, it connects to chapter 12. So it begins with this. It says, therefore, actually, you're a bit quiet. Could you read together? All right, ready? One, two, go. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Stop. Okay, so let me just kind of talk a little bit about that. Just in case you think that there's all these cloud of witnesses who are in heaven and they're always watching at us. They're going like, go, team, go. Go, Jared, go. Go, Eugene, go, go. I really doubt so. Okay, it wasn't meant to be as such. I think when we go up to heaven, I don't think we get to see, watch what's on earth. Okay, I don't think so. Movies tells you that, but that's not true. The Bible here is trying to be very clear. He says, who are these witnesses? These are the cloud of witnesses. They are witnesses of a life of faith. They are trying to say that I've been through a life of faith. So can you. So he's asking us as we recall, you know, when you go through hard time, it doesn't happen the way you want it. You call, you know what? Abraham had his season of uncertainty, but he trusted God. I think I can do this. When God is asking you to do something that's incredibly tough, you thought about, you know what? It was very difficult for Noah as well. I think I can do it. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, he says, Noah, Moses by faith chose the suffering of his people, then the wealth of Egypt. When you are placed with a chance to cheat and earn a lot of money and say no, you think about, Moses did it, I think I can do it. Right? Parents, the Bible says, Moses' parents had faith in God by faith. Moses' parents, by faith, Moses, go back and read. So when you are doing it, you say, no. If I am able to display a life of faith, maybe my children will display a life of faith as they grow. So he's trying to say that we are surrounded by this cloud of witnesses who went through every brand, every intersection, every ups and downs, challenges of life, and they made it. He says, look at them, okay? Then he says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. He differentiates between weight and sin because the analogy that the author was using is really an analogy of a race. Now, how many of you know that nobody runs a race and sprints for 1 kilometer and sit down though it's a 100-kilometer race? Nobody does that, okay? We are called to run the race, and the race is every day. Just because you do well today, there's no guarantee that you'll do well tomorrow. Just because I'm doing well right now doesn't mean that 10 years, it's an everyday thing. I need to keep on running the race. Therefore, it's asked us to look at them, okay? Then he says, for you to run this race, you must lay aside every weight and sin. He differentiates between weight and sin. Weight are things that slow you down. What potentially could be weight? A bad decision in life. Not sin, bad decision. What bad decision? I've met people who will always tell me, Pastor, you know, one day I'm going to serve God. One day. I wait for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years. After 10 days, you say the same thing. Pastor, I need to resolve this before. Let me serve God. I need to get this before. You know, sometimes that will never come. Potentially, you are caught in making certain decisions, not sinful, but not wise. It doesn't cause you. It could be a mindset. It could be a habit. It could be a thinking. It could be a certain patterns of life that you get yourself into that you cannot get yourself out of it. And that become a weight that cannot enable you to run the race for God powerfully. In fact, if you want to put a word, if you are a note taker, put the word snare, S-N-A-R-E. Put the word snare, okay? Nobody do that. Just at least pretend. Okay, make me happy, okay? If you ever think of the word snare and you do a word research on the word snare, the word snare means trap. God spoke to the people in Israel. He said, went into the land. He says, if you don't remove the idols, they will snare you one day. God told Gideon, if you don't do that ephod, don't do that. He did it. He says, it will snare you one day. And he snared them one day. It became a trap. So sometimes we make life decisions and we jump into a trap. I meet people, and I want to say this to you, okay? I want to be as careful, but I think this is real. I met a lot of people, they are so earthbound. Earthbound means all the bucket list that they want to do is only of earthly value. What car I want to eventually drive? I want to work so hard so that I can drive that sport car. That's what I want. I want to work so hard so I can get that 10,000 square feet house because I that's what. I want to travel in 50 nations because there's nothing wrong. It's absolutely right. But when your decision-making is so earthly-bound, you live the 60, 70 years of your life to experience everything that the earth can give for you, can I encourage you another alternative way of thinking? There's no scripture that I can think of, but I remember there's a song that talks about how as we grow in Christ, the things of the world becomes dim. Remember that song? You got to be a little bit old to remember that song, okay? And it talks about how the things of the world becomes dim and the things of God become attractive. I know it's not so easy to make that switch, but I want to encourage you, the more you live life, so maybe for me, for my age, and I kind of talk through with my leaders, you know, I think I can run for, if I'm healthy enough, I think I can run for another 10, 15 years max, maybe. And I talk about how that 10, 15 years, I want to be so accurate in the things that God has called me to do. I want to be a kind of a single focus. You know, ever since I stepped out from the business world, I've always had people who ask me to go back to the business. I've got people who give proposal, Pastor, you got so many contact, you do this, I give you that, you know, whatever. You know, I've every time I don't even pray about it, I just say, no, not for me, thank you so much, but no, not for me. That's because I think I come to a place in my life, I just want to do something that I really felt God has asked me to do. And one of my biggest passion is really wanting to make disciples. One thing to help people who absolutely have no idea who God is, help them to connect the dot and find every possibility that maybe God is not as far as you think He is. Helping people who have said yes to God but stagnate in their understanding of who God is because you're stuck in a certain mindset about God. And then helping people to move over to a point where they will carve out their energy, their talent to be able to serve God according to what you're comfortable. And I think that's my greatest passion. Maybe about a year ago, I have a pastor who was from East Malaysia. And he called me. He says, can I, you know, I'm actually coming to West Malaysia. I'm going to fly over. I want to pick your brain. Actually, there's nothing much to pick already, okay? But he said, I want to pick your brain. He says, I heard about this thing that you do and how many people you have led to Christ and many. He says, for past 5, 8, 10 years, I struggle to even lead one person to Christ. He says, can I pick your brain how you do it? So when we sat down, he asked me, so how did you do it? I said, actually, it's not difficult because I only do one thing. I only do one thing. I only let making disciples define my schedule. When I wake up, I think about making disciples. Of course, I'm a father. I think about my children. I engage with them, you know, to help them to make disciples. Just kidding, okay? No. My kids are well, okay? My kids are well. My wife, right? My mom, I got so many things, right? But beside being a responsible father, and you know, if you know my kids, okay, I think we are pretty responsible parents. That's right, one thing, okay? So I told this guy, I said, you know, you can do it, I said, but you just have to be focused, the power of focus. Then I said, I look at it, he's a pastor, just like me. I said, how many committee members you are in? He sat down, he counted for me. 12. He is in 12 committee members for Christian organization, got book reading committee, got this committee, got that committee, got this committee. And I said, that's the difference. You are in 12 to 14 committee that gets you to think about the Christian thing, which is the best book to read. Now, nothing wrong. I mean, yeah, your passion is great, okay? Which is the best thing to do. But I said, I'm in none of all of them, and I only focus to walk the journey of meeting people who do not know God, seeing them grow, and hopefully one day they become someone who understand who God is and give their life to be able to serve God, not in a full-time capacity, just in your daily life. And I think that's not difficult. That is absolutely very achievable. Reasonable service unto the Lord. That's what Romans 12 talk about. I said, that's what I do. Now, I say that to help you to understand. I try to shed off as much good things, but it can be weighty. So the Bible says you want to run the race that God has set before you. He says you first shed off weight. So you want to think through what are the things in your life. Maybe a certain habit pattern. Maybe God has called you to be really a preacher for God, but you always tell yourself, no, I cannot speak. When I stand in public, you know, I cannot, I won't. You know, I fumble, I stumble, you know. I mean, and it's a mindset. Maybe it's a thought about you wanting to be a life group leader, and in your mind, a life group leader is someone that people have to come to your house, then you have to clean your house, you have to take out your chinaware, you know, that you only take out every 10 years, you know, and then when people eat, and then priang, and then your heart also drop. You say, God, how can that happen, you know? And then you will never get people. No, use paper plate. Wow, revelation, boom, now I understand. You know what I'm saying, right? So I don't know what are the mindset that potentially stop you. So he says, lay aside those things and sin with clean circle. And then he says, let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Underline the word endurance. If you look at Hebrews 12, verse 1, verse 3, verse 7, verse 20, talk about endurance. Endurance is a big word when it comes to this race of faith. Okay, and then he says, number 3. So he says, 3 things to do. He says, shed away the weight and sin. Focus to run the race set before you. And then he says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, the third thing to do is you look to God. You look to Jesus. You know, whenever we look to Jesus, because he is the first author of faith, he went through the victorious, the triumphant, and the most difficult suffering. He went through that. And he is the first one that say that, I did it. You can do it. You can do it. You can. He says, always look to Jesus. He's an example. And he is an enabler. He enables, he gives us the grace for us to go through what we needed to go through. Which is why, and I think it was last weekend I mentioned, it was Johnny Erickson who was physically impaired or physically disabled that had so many people who came and prayed for healing. And then she concluded, she said, God did not choose to heal me, but he chose to hold me. And they talk about how in her midst of all the struggle that she goes through, she lives such a life that shines for God. And she's telling every one of us that you can run that race as well. And then considered him when endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not even grow weary or faint-hearted. You know, the earlier verse says this. It says that he endured the cross despising. He says, for the joy that was set before. That means Christ has this thinking that this is temporarily joy. And then he went through every shame. You know, when the Roman put him at the cross, they literally strip him naked. That little thought helped Corrie ten Boom and Betsy, if you read the book Hiding Place. Because when they were old, they were stripped naked before the German Nazi. And they mock at her body, they mock at her, and they were so shamefully. And Corrie ten Boom turned to Betsy and says, it's okay, Jesus was stripped. He despised the shame. he went on. And it was the same Corrie ten Boom and Betsy who eventually reached out to the soldier who mocked, who ridiculed them. And that's what a different category of faith do. And when you look at them, you will conclude that the earth wasn't worthy for people like them. I want to bring all this to a close. So, three handles, Hebrews 12. Let us lay aside every sin and weight. Let us run the race with endurance. Let us look to Jesus. So he said, you know, no matter what you go through in life, remember this. Let us lay aside every sin and weight. Let us run the race God has given and let us look to Jesus. I want to end by telling you the story of Dr. Robert Gallagher. Dr. Robert Gallagher was a professor that taught me and Sean in Witten when we were there. And the first day he came to class, you will see that he has a bit of a, you know, that's just because he just had 10 operations because they found cancer, melanoma. I think the skin cancer was on the nose. Or so he went through 10 surgery to reconfigure his face, you know, and all of that, okay? Now, but the story goes way before that. Let me tell you a bit of a story because I want to prove a point of there are today human beings who went through life at its toughest, but it's just as sweet as anybody, who understand the race that he needs to run, who remove every weight and sin, and who always look to Jesus. Robert Gallagher, October 2021, while having a conversation, snap, he couldn't hear anymore. He's always had a little bit of a hearing problem. He talked about it, but on that day, he lost all his hearing. He talked about for a period of his life, he has to write to his wife because he can't hear at all. His hearing went down to about 3%. And in January 2022, he says, by the grace of God, the wife and many people who prayed for him, one day, snap, hearing came back 48% in his left ear. So he wear two hearing aids. So you talk about 2021, he was still teaching. So when he in the class, they have to write, he was still. So when he do our class, just a very sweet man, really just a very super gentleman, and he'll say, so sorry guys, I can't hear. Could you come closer? Could you talk? Can I see your face? And for him to figure out what we are trying to say, all right, with the two hearing aids. December 2021, while watching TV at home, he suddenly went unconscious, palpitation, pulse went up, and called ambulance, vertigo. Went in, the MRI found that he had bleeding, internal bleeding on his brain. Unconscious, they were doing whatever they can. Then he came out, and then they were monitoring. They were thinking what to do through prayer. And after that, they see him to be fine. They went in for a second round of MRI after a couple of hours, realized that they couldn't find the bleeding anymore. He attributed it to God was gracious to him. God healed him. Till today, he's well. Okay, at least the bleeding part. Then, this year, January, it was found out that he had melanoma, which is a skin cancer. He had it. So he went through the first surgery, 7 hours of surgery. And then he had 10 surgeries thereafter just to reconfigure his face, his nose. In fact, he says, I look so ugly that I scare all my grandchildren. I have to isolate myself for 3 months in order for, you know. So when he was there, he just came out from one surgery, and then while he was teaching the class, the last year of the class, he has to excuse himself, get another substitute teacher, which is his wife. Wife, substitute, nice. Could you preach? Anyway, and then he went to take off the stitches, you know, all of that. He did all of that. You know, but if you were to sit down with Dr. Robert Gallagher in our class, you don't see any of this that he has gone through has stopped him, never. Never once he mourned about the struggle. Never once he sighed, never. Every day, his only one request is, can we start each class by worshiping God? It was a cappella. And then we come together and you see him sitting down there, lifting up his hand. The most worshipful person out of the entire class. People like me worship, we look at handphone, you know, oh, this message came in, you know. He was just worshiping God. And then he got up, he come to the class, he says, that was such a great time of worshiping God. That was such a great time. And so sweet. And then he tells us this. He says, I think he's 72 years old. It was funny, one of the class break, he showed us exercise, how to maintain his physical, you know. He says, I did that every day so that I can run the race God has set before me. He says, I want to serve God until 100 years old. So he says, I still got a good laps of race that I want to run. He was very clear, the race that he wants to run. And he talked about how the rest of his life, he just focused on to do this, write certain article, be a voice of certain champion. And then he tells us, every day, I look to Jesus. And then when the wife came to the class, the wife talked about, you know, and because the wife is very liturgical, that means that they appreciate a lot of physical expression, like candles, you know, that's the way they connect with God. So the wife will talk about where they wear their shoes, they put a little candle. And every time, as they wear their shoe, they reminded themselves, as I walk away from my house, I want to go with the presence of God. It represents the Holy Spirit. You know, and that little thing. Where the dinner table, they put that little, you know, whatever incense. They said, that's the way we want to remind ourselves that we begin with prayer every meal and honoring. I mean, she just began to talk about the little things that she said she puts all over the house for them to be reminded that they are so in need of who God is and God has to be part of their life. I thought about Dr. Robert Gallagher, Australian man, such a sweet spirit. You know, we will go through life, different twists, different turn, different take. But could I encourage all of you? Run the race. If you are someone that's in your 60s and 70s and you think that, you know, Pastor, that's it. You know, nowadays, let all the young people do. Can I give you an alternative thinking? That's not biblical. Because they cannot run the race for you. Nobody run a 10-kilometer race, run 2 kilometers and sit down and say, you run the rest. Because the rest has their race to run. Then you got to ask yourself, God, in my 60s, how am I going to run the next 10, 15 years of my life? How am I going to run that race? Maybe I write more. Maybe I mentor more. Maybe I avail myself more. Maybe I talk less, listen more. Maybe I learn from the younger generation. How? I don't know. But don't think and say that, let the young people do lah. Now I just do nothing. Because that's not your race. Your race is incomplete. So lay aside every weight. When you're of a certain age, the weight looks differently. When you're of a certain age, the weight looks differently. Of course, when you're a certain age, the weight looks differently, okay? All right? But run your race and always look to Jesus. So I just want to end the phases of faith by saying this. You have your race. And the day will come when we get to sit down with Noah and all those, and Noah is going to ask you, could you tell me the way you run your race? And you get to tell. You got to tell, man, it was pandemic. Gosh, you know, I nearly lost my faith, but I kept on every day. I read this Psalms. It really helps me. Noah, you know, I read your story. Noah, you were fantastic, Noah. Thank you for telling your story. And I'm saying, and then Noah said, wow, I was so encouraged by the way you run your race. And you know, when I was tired, I look at YouVersion, that apps. Noah said, No, I don't know that. Of course you don't know that, but Noah, where got apps your time, right? And then you get to tell your story, because the day will come when the faith community will come together. That will be so incredible. So run your race well. Look to Jesus. Don't give up. Can I go to amen? Would you stand? Would you stand? This is what I want us to do. Okay? Now, When I look at my life, I've got the next 10 to 15 years, I think, I can still actively engage, do what God has called me to do. I am bent to raise the next generation and potentially want to see God help us to plant churches and lead as many people to encounter God. I really want to give myself for that. I make time for anybody that says, Pastor, I need a conversation. Well, done. I'll create my time. Midnight, I'll be there. 6 a.m., I'll be there. 3 a.m., you talk to God yourself, okay? I may, okay? But my point is this. I've got my race. You're going to run your race. So this is what I want you to do. Some of you are only 20 years old. Why I put that, okay? Johnny is done. Okay? You got your race that you're going to run. So I want you to take a moment as you worship God, and then we'll jump to dialogue. I want you to surrender the race that you're going to run. Some of you, potentially, you kind of slow down, then come back to that race. Don't let COVID to be an excuse of not running the race. Don't blame everything on COVID. You are stronger than that. So you tell God, God, this is my race. I want to look to you, help me to finish the race, take away weight and sin that entangle me. Surrender this race before. Can we do that? All right, so everybody have your own altar. Just a quick song, you know, worshipfully as we do that. All right.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
God, we come before you this morning. There's a race that you have set for us to run. Abraham ran, Enoch, Noah, Moses. Now it's us. Now it's Eugene. Now it's me. Now it's my wife. Now it's Sunwen. Now it's Gideon, Ming Luan, Raymond, Johnny, gosh, Adam, Sophie. So many of them, Lord. Every one of us. Lord, we are running that race. I pray that we look to you. I pray that we will lay aside every weight and sin, and we will be reminded that there are so many men and women of faith who ran before us, and they told us that faith can help you reach the end point, because that's the cloud of witnesses. So God, today we want to live by faith, always looking at you, at the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we commit our life into your hand. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.